Inside Tracker uses science, technology, ultra-personalized guidance specifically for you. Consumers choose the recommendations that are most compatible. Each recommendation, backed by science, rigorously reviewed and directly linked to published peer-reviewed scientific research. They don't just show you normal biomarker zones. They show you the optimal biomarker zones and numbers that are best for your body. Inside Tracker is the only human performance system that integrates real-time physiomarker data from your fitness tracker with your existing blood and DNA biomarker data. Unprecedented combination of blood, DNA, fitness tracking, that all adds together to create an exponential level of precision and customization to your Inside Tracker action plan. So for a limited time, you can get 25% off the entire Inside Tracker store. Just go to Inside Tracker, that is T-R-A-C-K-E-R, insidetracker.com/Drew, and see if this isn't something you might be interested in. Insidetracker.com/Drew. Again, see what's right for you there. Hey, welcome to Dr. Drew Podcast, everybody. Blah, blah, blah. Remember all the people to support to be a part of the show. Don't forget that opioid saga. That's going to be a multi-part series you want to check out. The ultimate story, how we got to this mess that we're in, taking it all the way back to the Neanderthals. Don't forget the Swinging Sounds, also volume 1, 2, and 3, and now the Sklar Brothers. Gentlemen, welcome.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
What a treat to be here.
Thank you for having
now,
us.
Now, Randy Jason, of course, but why not call it shit talk?
So that's a great thing. So you're talking about our documentary that you very generously donated your time to.
Recommend that just if you want to, the trailer is so good.
Yeah.
I think it sells it. So yeah. If you want to go see this, watch the trailer. You just get it online. Anywhere,
yeah, it's
right?
online. If you look up Poop Talk, it was called Poop Talk. Look, I mean, we as creative dudes ourselves, we wanted to call it either Talking Shit,
Fecal Matters.
Fecal Matters. Come on.
Now that we're up against the Black Panther, we want to call it the Brown Panther.
We could have called it The Shape of Toilet Water. Well, we could have called it Lady Turd. I mean, we're looking at Oscar. No.
You need to have subtitles. Man, need a million subtitles.
So when it came down to it, what we realized is we had a movie that wasn't so scatologically graphic, if you will. It was really a movie about why is this a difficult something that everybody does, but it's a difficult thing for people to talk about. Right. It was much more about how people wrestle with an issue that's tough to talk about. So it was less about like your crazy, disgusting shit stories. It was
not Aristocrats.
No.
Yeah.
Although there are some amazing stories.
I'm aware of that.
But it's
more about why does this bother us so much?
How did we get to this place? And should we be talking about it more? Or maybe
we're doing it right. We don't know. And we just kind of – what we were realizing is people's approach to this thing was kind of a portal into their human –
You said portal.
Portal. Well, I mean, like, look, we sat down. So ultimately, Poop Talk tended to be like, all right, this is a movie that could reach a lot of people. Maybe let's specify the name.
What it is, 50 actors and comedians interviewing about pooping and shitting.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it. Shit stories.
As well as doctors and scientists and other folks.
It's premiering Friday, February 16th. It's in theaters and video on demand. You can is supersklars.com have the trailer?
Yeah, and the trailer will be at
if you go to poop if you look po- a poop talk on,
did,
on YouTube you'll find
talk.
It.
Yeah,
poop
I
talk
just, on I YouTube. Just Gmail. I mean, Googled
and you'll find the trailer.
Came right up, right?
You'll find the trailer, and it's kind of
daughter coined the phrase of the title.
Yeah, so I'm taught. So when we were being interviewed
on the phone, it's in the trailer. She said, "Are you done with your poop talk?" And then we're like, "Maybe that should be the name of the movie."
Oh.
So it was organic. It came out of the thing.
Is that in the movie?
Yeah, in the movie.
Oh, that's
so
good.
So in the middle of us being interviewed, I got a phone call. It was my daughter, and I asked her on the phone, "Did you poop today?" And she's like, "Ugh, God, Dad." Which is weird because they're the most
public.
Yeah, they're cojones of
kids.
She, my daughter will go on a plane and poop and not flush, which I'm like, that in some countries is seen as a threat.
That's an act of aggression.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that started World War I. Someone took a shit in Archduke Ferdinand's toilet and left it there.
No, I think you took a shit, bought a sandwich, and then walked out and then shot the guy.
And then shot the guy.
That's right.
But
kids are pretty cool.
But it is interesting, isn't it, that there's some development. I don't know if you get into this in the movie or not, but some developmental aspect to it, which you don't, you're not born ashamed of it, but it kind of kicks in with even
with
puberty
or
even before without a lot of social overtones, and then the social overtones take it all the way home.
That's so right. I got a 12. So my oldest daughter is 12 and my youngest is 10. They still are okay with like pooping with the door open in my house and having a conversation while we're, you know, it still is very, I kind of want to hold on to this as long as I can because.
The great thing in 3 years from now, they're going to love that you talked about this.
They're going to Google it and love that. But
they're going to be so happy. No, not that you did this film, but you had
talked about
this
conversation
here today. Yes.
Well, here's the deal. In 3 years, they're not going to hear anything from me, so who cares?
It goes without
right?
saying.
Who cares? You know, you've been through it, so who cares? Mm-hmm. But it
you
is.
You have daughters, at least.
Yeah, I know.
Fits a little better for the
yes,
dad.
Yes, I have a son and
mom
and
will
daughter.
Eat poop.
Yeah, mom's going to have a rough go of it. But you know, as long as they don't direct the anger towards me, I'm fine. No, but it was fascinating to do. You know, it's so funny. We did an interview with because we grew up or spent 5 years in New York in our sort of in our developmental professional life, 94 to 99, and right when New York One kind of blasted out and became its own sort of news thing. And when we were just back there, we did Dr. Oz's show, and then we did New York One while we were there. And the woman who's the kind of the main reporter there, Roma Torre, she tweeted out to us, you know, hey, if we actually started talking about poop a little bit more, maybe people would not be so weird about getting screened for colon cancer and stuff. Like if we removed the taboo.
Yeah.
And then we started.
That's more about the asshole than poop, though.
It is
true, but it's all the same area. I mean,
the having approached many yes, an asshole
sure.
Filled with poop,
sure, yeah.
It's messing with the asshole. The poop, they don't really care about because you're going after to get the poop, by the way, many times.
Yes.
It's the asshole that they object to.
So. Sure.
But maybe you're right. Maybe we'll reduce it. I like her. I like the way she's thinking.
I like the way she – and then we started thinking –
it could lead to many asshole conversations.
Right?
Although it definitely leads to discussions and also like why America is fighting the bidet.
That's kind of what we found
thing.
Out.
Yeah,
sure. We found out through the show, like, why are we fighting it so much?
Well, all I remember.
Is it a waste of water?
Well, no, you're not going to find Mr. Carolla fighting the bidets. Did you JCS?
That man loves.
Yes, we did.
He's in the film and he talked about his toilet seat.
He talked about the fact that he goes on the road with his toilet seat under his arm and takes it to hotels.
Did he tell you the first time he encountered said a Japanese instrument? No. We were at the London. It was not the London then.
He talks about it and Rob Corddry talk about it in terms that like
they're talking about their children.
Well, I want you to know I was there. I was there and he called me and insisted I come down and see.
See it and
feel the heat and look at the power
the stream,
of the jet,
the
stream out of the
undulation.
Toilet. Yes, he. I mean, he waxed poetic for about
it's a treat.
What's today? About 16 years after that.
It is, and to this day, he can tell you how great it felt the very first time.
Yeah. So he now, to be fair, the issue with Mr. Carolla is, as he has described to me, cleaning the poop for him is like trying to get peanut butter out of shag carpet.
Yeah.
And so the bidet will take care of all
sure.
that.
Sure.
Someone in the movie said, if you had a piece of poop on your arm, would you take a dry towel and wipe it off?
No,
you would get soap and water and clean it off.
Well,
so why would you do that?
But what has suddenly come in, though, are these like little chucks, the wipes. Yeah,
The moist wipes have now
been. That has come in.
Maybe that is the little baby step towards the bidet. Because in every other, in many, all European cultures, it exists. In Japan, it exists. And many, many, many people use it.
There will never be a bidet. There could be the toilet seat adaptation.
Right. But there will never be a separate toilet seat in an American bathroom that has a standard.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. I'll allow that.
Yeah. But there will be the
– I'll allow it.
And to be fair, there's a whole female element in the bidets
just that it's a French
efficacy.
Yes.
Yeah. That's different than the poop issue.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I do believe, first of all, there is sexual stimulation.
When
it comes to what's going up there.
That explains a bit.
So I do think that there are probably people who are fearful of their own sexual pleasure to be derived from that.
And to be fair, I think the American looks at that and goes, oh, that's right. The Europeans don't bathe.
This is their idea of a bath.
Yeah.
This is as close as water shooting up
from the toilet.
We're a little offended by that because we take baths every day. But again, back to Carolla, never takes a bath.
Yeah.
Or a shower.
He never takes a shower.
Right.
Yeah.
Now he does. He's a conscientious objector to soap and water right now. Mm-hmm. However, he insists on jumping in a cold pool every day because that's manliness. That's building grit. But it has nothing to do with the water and the washing because he would gladly avoid
he's
that.
He will avoid that. The washing. Mm-hmm. God, why did I just shake his hand?
Jeez,
when he left here?
We'll give you a whole disquisition on why soap is evil and we bought into the man's
sales BS, and we don't need it, and we're washing off essential oils, and
blah, what do you think?
Blah, blah, blah.
Do you disagree?
Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I bet there's a happy medium for what he's saying.
We probably overdo it here, but who cares?
Right.
I'm happy to do so.
I actually like smelling like rose water.
Yes.
I actually truly enjoy that.
I would argue that women have very sensitive sense of smell, and we're trying to
impress them,
so therefore we will do so.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Does it ever take over the idea? Because your own personal pheromones or whatever you sort of release out into the world, that gets
picked up. You can't suppress that completely.
Not completely, and I would argue way more is made of that than probably is.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably really anything. But Gary, do you think – I was thinking about this morning when I took my cold shower. Why – I mean, Adam would not have any water exposure were it not for the cold, right? Is that about right?
I'm sorry. I'm not sure I understand the question.
We're talking about the bidet being the way Europeans bathe and that Adam does not bathe and would not use soap, but probably wouldn't even expose himself to water more than once every week or two.
No, I think he washes his hands every now and then.
But I mean his body.
Yes, no.
Were it not him jumping in the pool to get the cold.
Right.
That's all he does that for.
Yeah, that's right.
How does he not get like chlorinated hair and stuff? I was thinking about this morning. Like I did, that was my move when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the pool all the time.
Yeah, clean.
I ended up with very, very green hair
that
summer.
That's interesting. True.
We'd have to investigate. There's a possibility that he does a quick rinse afterward, but also his hair is not normal hair material. Yeah, it's a Brillo pad.
It is like a bizarre, like impenetrable, almost like a. It's like a Jufro helmet.
Yeah, I don't know if it reacts to chlorine the way a normal human male's would.
It's the color of your hair, interestingly. Would yours?
I don't think it's – my hair has never changed color as a result of it, but I do know what you're talking about with like the funk.
Yeah. If you were to just go to the pool like we used to do in the summertime, like you just go to like the Jewish Community Center pool every day
in the summer.
Yeah, like everybody does.
You know, like
went there every day and swam in the pool and just didn't shower for a couple of weeks.
I did that at age 11. I did that.
Right, so then your hair turned green.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember my mother looking at me going, what the hell?
Like, you need to take a shower.
I mean, why? I'm in the pool every day.
Yeah.
Why should I? I'm in the ocean and the pool.
There's chemicals. Water on me. What do you mean?
Chemicals are cleaning me
off.
In
the water the whole day. What's washing going to do? Okay. Mm-mm. Anyway.
Mm-mm.
Good times. What else do you guys – anything else coming up for you two? Or
we have –
I see you everywhere.
I know. We've got – we just finished a very cool project that is going to be released in probably the next
– 2 months maybe?
Two months through with Audible. That was fascinating. It's a stand-up project. Sort of when we go out on the road and do stand-up, usually the first 5 to 10 minutes of our show, we try and – first of all, we're there for a weekend. We're away from our families, which sucks.
Yeah.
We try and experience as much – of the town as we can and write comedy about what they're going through and what
wherever you are.
Yeah, because comedy takes us to places that we would probably not travel to. Some places, some we would.
Like I'd go to Denver, I'd go to Austin, I'd go to Portland, but would I go to Charlotte?
Probably not. Tulsa?
On my own, would I go to these places?
And do comment at that night?
Yes. Yeah, we try and write about it and over the course of a weekend try and develop some material about them. Yeah. We thought that would be a cool thing to document. Plane lands on Thursday.
Here's the challenge.
There's a challenge. So you actually hear us going around and you hear – it's basically like two documentaries in one. What it's like to be in those towns right now. What is Tulsa – what is Kansas City grappling with? How has weed changed Denver? You know, have tech bros priced out gay culture in San Francisco? What are they dealing with? And then how does an observation turn into a funny thought, which turns into a joke, which ultimately turns into a bit on stage? Did we get it right?
The last 10 minutes is our set.
So with Audible, we said, let's make a big sort of audio book, 10 chapters, 10 cities. Mm. Each city is a chapter, and we go around. So
I bet you learned something about comedy.
Much about comedy. Yeah. So much about
the cities.
So much about the cities.
So here's the crazy thing. So we decided to start this thing, and the very first weekend we did was in San Diego, the weekend after Trump got elected.
Oh.
So the next 13 months, which is the most tumultuous year I can remember of our nation's history, when everyone retreated into their bubbles, and God knows I wanted to just stay here in this bubble, we were going to Indiana and Oklahoma and Texas and Missouri and Kansas and Wisconsin. We were hitting the states that were probably purple and red and whatnot.
Yeah, sure.
And so what it is a document of what the whole – what everybody was going through during that time, and you hear through our material what it is. So we put together this thing, and then we're going to pull about 6 to 8 minutes of material from each city
and release a comedy
and make a comedy album.
Oh, great.
So the whole thing is called Sklars and Stripes.
Oh, my God, that's great.
It's coming
out. Idea.
Audible, and that'll be out soon. And, of course, this movie, which we're, again, so excited about.
How did Poop Talk come into being.
It was cool. Yeah,
our friend Aaron Feldman, who's the director, he came to us and he said, I want to make a movie, a documentary. I want you guys to help me make this movie about poop. And we were like, Yeah, probably not. No thanks.
Not necessarily.
Our first initially said no. And he said, well, why don't you think about it over the weekend and come and tell me what is the type of movie you would want to make on this subject? So we talked about it and we said, I wonder if we could.
We really did grapple with it that weekend because we went back
and forth.
I'd be
curious to know what kinds of things came across your
mind.
Well,
we said, would we, number one, that's not necessarily like what we do. People don't think about that when you think about our comedy. And
we said, could we do this the right way? I mean, would we be able to
do a good job? Or is this a better documentary handled by somebody else?
Or are you, sir, just going to do a shit project?
Yes!
Right!
You're going to do a shitty job. So, you don't want to do a shitty job on a shit movie.
So we said, we actually talked about it. We said, what would be the movie out of this that we would want to see? So we said, I wonder if we could get our funny friends and smart friends and people who we know have something interesting to say, because we see comedians kind of as like amateur anthropologists.
Well, I was going to say that. Let me sidebar this for a second and just say that that's true. And what I find in good comedians when they come up with a great thing, it's based on a great observation that is true that people miss.
Yes.
And it rings so vivid and true. And
either miss or they experience and know
the
inherently
truth of it.
And then it speaks.
I like that because there's a certain amount of surprise in comedy, like, well, aha, that gives you the zing, the reward.
Yeah.
And I think some of that is, oh my God, how did I – that's so true. How did I miss that?
That's right.
Totally.
Yeah. And so with that in mind, we said, how would our funny friends deal with something like this? So we would actually want to have a real honest discussion with them.
And we know they'll be funny.
And so we said, that's a movie we want to do. Came back to him and he said,
I want to make that movie.
Let's make that movie. And so we started contacting all of our friends. We contacted you. We contacted Adam. We contacted all of our comedians that we knew. And everybody said, sure, let's do it. I mean, we were amazed. We thought we'd get like 50% of the people be like, nah, 98% of the people that could do it.
As I remember the experience, you made it very easy, too,
well,
by the way.
Yeah,
that
we tried to.
That was really made it go, I think.
I think so, too. We wanted to conduct the interviews. We've known you for a while.
Yeah. So for us to sit down and talk to you about something, it was very much a conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what comes off on screen is
how comfortable you were.
Yeah.
You look comfortable and great. And like it's like you're just having a very normal conversation. Yeah. It felt that way throughout the whole film. And I think that's why it works. People were willing to be vulnerable and talk about
it. So then when we finished it, we thought, okay, this is going to – I mean, we didn't do it for much money. We thought, all right, this is not going to be anything. It'll be what it is, and it probably won't even make a splash. Or people won't even
want to
pick it up and move it forward, but then it got picked up. It's so funny because the person at Preferred Entertainment, which did Jiro Dreams of Sushi and Arrival and all these other great movies, he watched the movie and he said, I love it, but I can't walk down my hallway in my office and tell people we're going to do a movie about poop. It just seems so – I don't think I could do it. He goes back to his family that night and he sits down at dinner and they're talking about what did you look at today, what did you see? And he's like, I saw this interesting movie about poop.
The whole family started talking.
The rest of the conversation, it opened up to this thing and he thought, okay, this might be a movie where it gets people talking. So he picked it back up and then WME and then here, then Comedy Dynamics and then suddenly now it's in theaters. This is something we did not
expect. The theatrical release is crazy. That's crazy.
10 cities in one theater. I mean, here it's in like the Lemley Santa Monica in LA. In New York, it's in the Village East. Cool, like in
Detroit, Cleveland, Kansas City.
Some great cities, but kind of all over the country in these like cool theaters. And I would say this. If I were at a movie in an independent movie theater and I saw a trailer for this movie with all the people that are in it, Kumail Nanjiani, Pete Holmes, like
you,
Nicole Byer, you, Adam, like all these great people, I probably would want to see what this movie was all about. Yeah. Plus, it's a universal subject that everybody does.
And it seemed like everybody, all the comedians were people that been, for lack of a better word, hot for the last like 2 years.
Yes.
Like you have like people that are on people's minds recently.
Well, we shot with Kumail pre the big sick and then boom, explosion. And so for me, for people who didn't know Kumail before and now know him through his movie, he is speaking very honestly about his own sort of grappling with – there was a moment, and he talks about it in the movie, where he – did not want to shit when he was a kid, and he thought if he only ate a certain amount of food, it was like a Pakistani eating disorder. Whatever, if I could eat just one less grape.
You should know there's a whole obsessive compulsive disorder component or theory about that.
Yeah.
You're holding your shit.
Yeah. Only eating the amount that you feel like your body.
And there's a theory, a psychoanalytic theory, that kids get upset because they feel like they're losing a part of themselves.
Yeah.
They're losing a piece down the toilet.
I mean, there's that aspiration. You know, again, I wonder what is the psychology of, is there a feeling of like, this is part of my own death, that part of me is leaving me?
Yeah, that children will wave at it sometimes as it goes by as though it's something they, yeah. And I guess part of self is equivalent to grief, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Here's what's amazing. The truth of the matter is, and we talked about this with you, if you're pooping, it means your body is working. Yeah. I actually just studied with my daughter. She had a science test this morning, my 10-year-old daughter. It was everything. It was like, how does food, what, yeah. you know, literally it started with
amylase,
what do
the mouth.
Cells yeah. do? Like, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the food, it goes into the mouth, the teeth crunch mm-hmm. it down, then it turns into the wet saliva, mm-hmm. it goes through the esophagus and it goes down. Then the nutrients get out, they mm-hmm. go to the cell, they go through the small intestine wall. And then what's left is this kind of wet mass of a thing. The water gets removed and then it's solid waste and then it goes through the, I was like, that is as scientific as it gets. They say you eliminate it. There's the elimination of it. It's very – and to me, listening, watching, kind of helping her study for this test and going through all these terms, I'm like, yeah, the body is a fascinating thing in that it can
Jesus.
Can do all of those things with every little
without
piece
you
of
even
food
thinking.
You eat.
But what the complex part is, what happens at every little columnar cell in the small bowel and how – different nutrients get through in different ways and what happens to them.
It's how does it determine, okay, this is something I need.
Insanely complicated.
Yeah, and make the differentiation between
each
one. It's not
thinking.
No,
it's all osmotic gradients and these active transport mechanisms.
But a decision has to be made.
Our system is in place.
There are energetics, like flows of energy, thermodynamics, right?
Right.
Energy states flowing. And
but isn't that just, it to me, is mind-blowing in the chemistry of it, or at least where it's like, it's almost you feel like there's a doorway and it
– There's some of it's a
you go this way and you go this way.
Some of it's that. Some of it's little things that come out and grab it and bring it in. Some of it is – it depends on what – it's going after.
It is fascinating. And so whenever you do poop, whenever you do exactly, it comes out the way it should. Mm-hmm. There's no blood in it.
What I find bizarre is how people are so preoccupied with the colon,
right?
Which job is to just pull the water out of that wet matter.
That's all it does to make it solid.
Pull the water out. That's right. And people are like, that's where I got to have an enema and I got to get it out of there. And I have sludge. You have nothing. You have what you're supposed to have.
Your body's doing it.
It's a perfect instrument.
The small intestine, to me, is a little bit more fascinating.
It's way more complicated.
What it can do.
Way more complicated.
Way more complicated. Yeah. Again, this is what I learned from studying with my daughter this morning on her stupid science test.
And different parts of it do different things.
Oh, yes.
Move through, so.
I mean, you're talking to our father, who sadly is no longer with us, died of colon cancer. And
hey, you've got the bad Ashkenazi Jews.
That's right.
That I've
he
got.
Just had his.
I just got a colonoscopy.
But you should
good.
Get the genetic testing done, which a patient of mine is a geneticist, and she recommended this thing called color.com. Mm-hmm. And it's $250. Yeah. And one of you should do it.
Yeah.
And then if you're positive, they'll do 50 first degree relatives for $50.
Oh, that's nice.
So there you go. And
I'm going to do it. You give me the information.
It does the 30 most common cancer causing genes. Turns out I have what's called MSH6. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to get colonoscopies and arthendoscopies every year.
Oh, so I thought Trump was trying to get rid of MSH6.
That's
M513. Yes, all right, whatever.
So should you get a Lynch syndrome or BRCA mm-hmm. or something, let me know.
We'll
share our misery. Maybe we'll all go in together. I just set up Adam's colonoscopy. I just set it up.
So you know what? I kind of like my colonoscopy, and I will tell you that I had
I did one 5-6 years ago as soon as our father had passed away, and you had to drink all that.
They have a better way now.
They have a better way now. I was like, as I was doing it, I'm like, I hope to God the next time I do this, there's a better way than just literally
purging
this
yourself.
Terrible
it's
liquid.
Well, you're drinking like ocean. It's like the seawater taking gigantic
terrible.
Gulps of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And I was specifically drinking from a conch shell. That was weird.
That was a bad call.
Whereas,
bizarre.
But yes, now it's different. It's a much lower deal. You drink actual water after you take some stuff and you don't
like. That's right.
And Michael Jackson's milk, if you can get that, it's pretty good.
What's Michael Jackson's
milk?
Propofol.
I thought you had to just for a while lay
before
down next to Corey Feldman.
I Versed and fentanyl, and I felt like hell afterwards. I had propofol last time.
Fentanyl is what they gave my wife when she was giving birth. You know, that
I hate
stuff
that.
Is
oof.
Just
oof. Oof.
Well, it is fascinating, and I will say that after doing this movie and making the movie, I am more open to talking about it, and I feel like I've become a little more open with
what
my
was
habits.
Crazy is
really
yes, I am not joking. I
open with your habits.
Yes, I have been more open to. I was more of a private pooper. I would shit in my son's bathroom. Which has now led him to shit in our bathroom, which is kind of like, I guess, like retribution.
Bathroom musical chairs, yeah.
So you're like some sort of weird cat shitter.
Yeah, I don't want to do this. I don't want to wreck my bathroom that I share with my wife. And so, but since
We're learning a little other things here about
the
power of his work.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I said.
Ruin your wife's bathroom.
Right, but I was like, you know what? This is natural, and maybe I'm being hard on myself, and maybe it's, you know, the smell goes away, and I just should be more open about it.
And by the way, with all that colon cancer stuff, you should be taking prebiotics and bulk and all that kind of stuff too.
I should. I definitely should.
Take some Metamucil or some sort of psyllium husk or something.
Yes.
There's all kinds of good stuff you can take.
Should be taking all of that stuff.
You too.
But you do.
You too.
I mean, we should be taking.
Okay. Bono and the Edge should be taking.
But the idea that
people with the family history of colon cancer.
We sat down and you talked to Pete Holmes has been a friend of ours for 20 years, and we sat down and talked to him, and he's like, yeah, I make a great shit, and I asked my wife to come over and look at it.
That is a classic male move.
Okay.
Did you see the South Park where Randy takes the gigantic – oh, my God. Now you have to see this.
Now I have to see it. No,
because he's literally like, and goes, oh, my God. Wait, Sharon, come here.
So he shares it
come
with
take
her.
A look at the turd of the
and
century.
And by the way, these guys have a meditation room upstairs in their house.
Sure, evolved
they're
people.
They're very evolved people. To me, it doesn't feel very caveman. It felt like a very evolved thing, and I was like, wow, you guys have that sort of a relationship where you invite her to look at your shit, and that's something I never knew about him, and it took sitting down and interviewing for this.
Is she a comedian too?
No. But it took sitting down and interviewing him for this movie to get that piece
of
advice.
I don't think I could have lived through my life had I not learned that. That made my life meaningful now to
Thank
know
you.
That he Welcome. Shows his shit to his wife.
I mean, every once in a while.
Every once in a while, if it's a good one. Not every time. You know what?
I will say that I now, if I have a great shit and it feels really like good and it was like aced it, walked out of the bathroom, I will share that information.
What's extra super bizarre about this conversation right now is that I strangely have developed a preoccupation. No shit. With the TV show Schitt's Creek.
Oh my God!
Great
I
show.
Love that show. Eugene Levy.
I know. My wife and I watched.
My son is really good on there too.
Unbelievable!
So funny.
I mean,
Chris
like
so good.
The acting and all of them, and the daughter, the one who plays the daughter,
great. So good.
And Eugene Levy's daughter is Twyla.
What the hell? Ridiculous! Famous and great. Talented family.
Because
we
it doesn't always go that way.
Episodes in 3 days. I kid you not.
That's awesome.
It's
a weird preoccupation. Strangely, it's about shit.
Shitstown.
Schitt's
Creek.
It's not a shitty
it's
town.
In the air.
Mayor shit at Schitt's Creek.
It's in the air.
It's a sign for this movie.
I'm telling you, this is coming out on President's Day weekend.
What better way to honor our current president than to watch a movie
February
about
16th.
Shit.
Oh.
Right?
Huh?
Yeah.
Right?
Too bad he can't go on Howard Stern anymore because you know he could talk about that.
I'm sure he's taken some shit that he makes everyone look at.
Yeah.
Everyone.
He makes everyone in his cabinet look at it and stand up and clap for it.
Yeah. You got it. He's not clapping. It's like the scene from Blazing Saddles. I didn't get a rump out of that guy.
Give the governor a rump. Are we really? Is that the guy?
That's what we've come to.
Didn't Lyndon Johnson, isn't he famous for having... held cabinet meetings while he took a shit.
Oh my God.
No, yeah. I'm not kidding.
I believe that's true. But that's fantastic.
That to me feels like a very, like a Texas person.
Yeah, yeah.
Door open.
And eating probably something else while
Gary,
he's doing
it. Can you check that out for me? I don't want that.
Thumbs up on that. That's truthful.
Yeah, I didn't want to be apocryphal.
But I was imagining he's like eating like Texas toast while he's taking a shit. Like just nonstop. Have you ever eaten anything while you're taking a shit? No.
Sure.
Eat while you've taken a shit?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So for me...
What is Texas toast?
Texas toast is like a big, thick, kind of brioche style piece
toast.
Of toast.
Just like slathered in butter while he's taking a dump.
You were eating and shitting?
No, not eating and shitting, but like to that end, I was also, for some reason, I didn't love like pooping in public or whatnot. My kids opened me up a little bit. This movie opened me up so much more because we did this movie. Then I went on a river rafting trip where like you have to we were with five other families. There's a thing called the Groover, which is basically a bucket and they put
Groover.
A little
the Groover
a, the Groover you put a little tent around it, but it's wide open and you're just looking out at it.
Oh,
and
God,
I will say some of my favorite moments on that trip was just sitting in the Groover and just after I had a nice big cup of coffee,
listening
just
to the creek,
listening
flow
to the water,
by.
The yeah. river, the Snake River go by while I made my own snake. It was wonderful.
Look, that is coffee's second gift. Really?
Yeah.
Well, tastes good, and then it cleans you out.
It used to be recommended by physicians as a laxative.
Vitamin. Coffee.
Yeah.
I'm sure now everybody says don't do it, but
don't drink what?
Coffee. Don't drink coffee as a laxative, but is it?
It is a laxative. I mean, it just happens to be.
To me, it's like every morning is like the last 15 minutes of the TV show Hoarders. I'm just like, get it all out.
Of course, you hear me speak quite a bit about blood sugar, and I'm not talking strictly about people with diabetes. I'm talking about all of us. Blood sugar figures very prominently into oxidative metabolism, lipid metabolism, and some of the oxidative damage, inflammatory damage that so many of us suffer from. I know myself have a significant issue with this. And let's be clear, you can never supplement your way out of this problem. Diet is extremely important. But look, there are things you can do to help yourself out. And particularly given the addictive nature of sugar and carbohydrates, we have a lot of swings in our blood sugar, and it's very difficult for us to stop and maintain healthy blood sugar levels. One of the ways, of course, is to reduce carbohydrates, that's sugars and starches, and keep more fat and protein coming in, more fiber. But we all tend to cheek, so you can consider adding Blood Sugar Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's an easy supplement, easy to take, and it has several studies to back up its claims. The fact is, it contains very commonly known elements that can help us with our blood sugar stability, like biotin, chromium, cinnamon, and more. And Bioptimizers, as always, does a lot of research on what's available out there in a supplement to do the work. It safely lowers blood sugar after meals and hopefully keeps a lid on some of these fluctuations that can really do us damage. And for an exclusive offer for our listeners, just go to bloodsugarbreakthrough.health/Drew. And you'll save 10% with code DrDrew10 when you try Blood Sugar Breakthrough. And if you use that link, that is bloodsugarbreakthrough.health/Drew, your exclusive 10% discount will already be applied.
BetterHelp is sponsoring this podcast, and if you are feeling depressed or struggling with relationships, well, there's many things BetterHelp can offer you online. Professional counselors who can listen and help, assess your needs, match you with your own licensed professional therapist, start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not a self-help line. Professional counseling done securely. Broad range of expertise available, and it's available worldwide. You can log into your account anytime, send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in a waiting room in an uncomfortable office. BetterHelp, they're excellent providers. I've referred family, friends, patients. They are committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. In fact, they're more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is also available. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Our podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/Drew. Visit betterhelp.com/Drew and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional. I've told you before, health insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of an emergency medical flight. Even with comprehensive coverage, you can still get hit, I think most people know, with a substantial deductible or copays. Protect your family and your finances with an AIR Medicare Network membership. As a member, if an emergency arises, the expense of an AIR medical transport is completely covered when flown by an AMCN provider. Membership costs as little as $85 a year and covers your entire household every day, even when you're away from home. That is just pennies a day. We all know that the unexpected can happen. An AMCN membership is protection no family should be without. And for a limited time, as a Dr. Drew podcast listener, you'll get a $50 e-gift card when you join. Simply visit airmedcarenetwork.com/Drew and use offer code Drew.
Well, there's something called the gastrocolic reflex.
Right.
Which is when you put something warm in your stomach, it causes what's called a mass movement with the things to move down into the ampulla. Now you guys are getting deep
into
this.
There we go. This is so deep in it.
So,
wait, didn't we talk about like the poop transplants with you?
No, we did not. Maybe we did.
We talked about it in the movie, but like where have we gone from
it's
there?
It's become standard care.
standard care?
Yeah, yeah.
Explain it. Really just working. Explain it again.
I will take your poop out and exchange it with the poop better of this poop. Gentleman over here.
It's the bacteria in your poop, and mm-hmm. it's in a pill. You don't. It doesn't really. You know,
it's not like not like you're, not taking, like you're taking a log and replacing
you
it.
You know, like a silly putty rolling it up and jamming it into.
So it's in pill form, but it's yeah. other bacteria yeah. from other poop
yeah.
that
yeah.
somehow
colonize. And it works. It's for C. difficile, Clostridium difficile overgrowth.
By the way, what was the moment at which that worked? You know what I mean? Like, who was like, I have an idea. Let's get someone else's shit and put it in your ass. And then
the Clostridium has been getting so resistant and people have been getting so desperate. I could see where that would occur pretty easily to somebody. Like, how are we going to get let's get some real bacteria back in that gut.
Right.
Right.
And we could probably package it in a something. And I'm sure they weren't even thinking about the poo part. It was just right. the bacteria.
Yeah. Right.
Just
all about
you
the bacteria.
You put it in a pill. Yeah. I mean, I know people who, if they said, you're going to eat the placenta of your child, you would say, no way. Try this pill over here.
Right, right.
I'm not going to tell you what's in it.
Right.
So you're fine with it.
So right. again, you mentioned.
There's another movie in that, I think.
Oh,
well, not just the placenta thing, but the idea of we'd take a pill with anything.
Anything.
In it.
I mean, okay, so
you mentioned think about this. You made the opioid crisis at the beginning.
Okay.
And you know, we do a sports podcast and we, you know, talk deeply about the issues, certainly in the NFL, about you know, players taking opioids for pain and mm-hmm. whatnot, hydrocodone. If they made and there are some athletes because they live in towns like in Colorado where mm-hmm. you can smoke weed mm-hmm. and a lot of them say that is better for my pain.
Good.
I actually take feel it. Better.
Yes.
Take it. What if you made pills look exactly like Vicodin yeah. and you stuck them in pill bottles that looked exactly like the Vicodin pill bottles, but they were made of THC or whatever,
okay.
whatever you would need. And you yeah. said, and doctors prescribed that to NFL players
yeah.
and said, take this for your pain.
Yeah.
I believe that to a person, they would all say, fine, because it looks like all the other medicine I take. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, psychologically. They would say, well, first of all, ethically, we can't do that, number one.
Tell them what it is, okay. but I'm just saying okay. like
– but and it might have some added bang because they are so attuned, conditioned to the opioid, but it is different.
And
some people have no effect on it.
Yeah,
some
no
people have good pain control. Some people have – cannabis is a weird drug in that it affects your genetic very much alters how it affects you.
So,
and they're all over the map in terms of whether you like it, whether it makes you high, whether it makes you anxious, whether it gives you good pain control. Mm-hmm. So it's a complicated thing. But for those that are prone to a good effect, I think you'd enhance the good effect by doing that,
yeah,
if particularly like the opiates.
And have less of a addictive sort of track.
Different addictive element, different quality to it. And for the record, much rather have somebody taking cannabis than opiate. Much, 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 much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whether they get addicted to it or not, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'd much rather than taking the cannabis than the opiate.
Is there a difference in like the effects or the benefits as to if it's smoked or ingested?
In terms of pain?
Yeah.
You're getting much higher levels when you ingest it.
When you eat it.
And right. it's harder to control and stuff too. So most people like smoking because they can adjust it better.
Yeah.
And opioids, if we're going back to pooping, I mean, that'll stop you the hell up forever.
Oh,
I mean, that's the worst.
The TV commercials for how to deal with the opioid-induced bowel constipation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So great. Now we got medicine.
Now we built a whole other industry
Come on.
Don't even go there. I'm on my website, I'm writing a ultimate opiate saga. I'm taking how the poppy got used back in prehistoric
old days,
and I'm taking it all the way to how do we get in this mess today. And I witnessed it happen. I know exactly how it happened, and people don't understand it.
Worse now than 20 years ago when we were.
Oh yeah. The teenagers aren't still with it. Teenagers have stopped. It just stopped outright, and they were where the new
Why
ones were
that?
Coming from. Because they're looking at everybody dying, and they got the message.
Really?
Teenagers are – oh, yeah, yeah.
They're just smarter. Yeah. They're just
– They just got the message. They got this will kill you. It's killing everybody, killing their aunts and uncles and blah, blah, blah. I will not do that.
Wow.
So they're not doing that. And the crazy thing is that our biggest previous opiate epidemic was in the 1890s.
Mm-hmm.
It had something to do with the Civil War. Exactly what – now that I researched a little bit, it's not –
It was not Industrial Revolution based?
No, well, what happened was – no, it's a little complicated. So morphine sulfate came along, okay, and that was sort of during the Civil War, and they were using it liberally during the Civil War.
So people get injured, they get a morphine drip?
No. There was no IVs.
Not even that.
They just invented the hypodermic needle during the Civil War. But they didn't have any. They didn't have any of the syringes. They didn't have any of the stuff. They didn't have any way of dissolving it. So they were using it sort of powders and orally and all kinds of funky ways. And laudanum had been around for a while, which is sort of an opium-like product. They're using a lot of that. But they didn't have much of it. They didn't have a lot of it. So they didn't get a lot of addiction. After the Civil War, all the ladies who lost husbands, it looks like that's where it really broke out.
Really?
Mm-mm. Yeah, it got going in the wow. all the trauma from the war wow. as people started using it for this and that. And that the addiction took up. Then when the doctors who were creating the addiction took a good look at it, they went, oh, shit. Well, first of all, it was working pretty well for alcoholics. We turned – because alcoholics are really objectionable. Now they're all morphine addicts. They turned all their alcoholics into morphine addicts. Because they were more easy. They were nicer than when they ran out. So they,
less
belligerent. They were treating alcoholics with morphine. Then they started treating morphine with amphetamines. And
to get them uppers.
No. They thought they just string – what we're doing today, we're doing the same effing thing, which is we just move from one to the next. To the and next. So the cannabis is kind of the same thing, but at least a weaker version of it.
You're kind of trying to land it a little
right.
bit.
Right. But this is something medicine has always done. It's this fantasy that we can treat addiction with another drug.
Another addiction.
And end up addicting them to something. Anyway, this was going on in the 1890s. The Kerosene Narcotic Act kicked in because – doctors were screwing it up so badly, the government had to get involved with it.
Oh my God.
And finally, you can find these documentations, these papers of people, doctors saying, well, this is bad. Doctors have created this. This is really our problem. But we better just make sure we don't get any more of these. Let's not do this anymore. Wink, wink. We'll see how the rest of them make do by themselves. You know, they just let them all die.
Oh my God.
They just let we are doing something similar now.
Just letting people.
We're not properly treating them. So.
Saying, okay, let's move on is essentially what they're saying. Like, we can't fix this.
It's
this
like,
round.
Let's just make sure we don't get any more addicts.
Right.
Wink, wink. You know, let's just make sure we don't create any more of this.
Wow.
And we'll struggle along with the ones we got. We don't really.
Is there a way? I mean, how do people get themselves out of it? That's just my question.
They don't themselves. They need other people.
You need other people.
They
need
to be
help.
Away for a long time. It takes a long. There's many different ways right now. There's all kinds of ideas and all kinds of. things. I'm interested in people being restored to full flourishing life. Maybe even better than before they got addicted,
right.
which is what recovery looks like sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is abstinence based.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in methadone and Suboxone, though they're fine to detox people for a few days if somebody wants to do that. I have no objection. Mm-hmm. But those replacement therapies, unless it's somebody who's failed and is unwilling to do anything else. Mm-hmm. Then and your goal should still be to get to abstinence.
Eventually. To a place
and when
right.
you do, you got to work hard. It's a lot of work for a long time.
I have relatives. We have relatives. My wife's got relatives that were in, you know, said they're in recovery, but also in recovery for alcohol, but then taking head operations and whatever. And you're like,
it's not a full thing. It's just going to go. It's going to go bad.
Or it'll go into something else. It's going into something else.
That's not a recovery because that's not being honest. And
it's a whole thing.
Hey, good times. My people.
Yeah, good times.
Good times. Good times.
They're so funny.
Dude, such a great, again, I can't thank you enough for being in this movie.
It's my pleasure. I know you're going to the premiere for it, like right now.
We're
going to
do a screening or whatever. Screening tonight.
If people are fans of yours and what you do on this show, they'll love this movie. I think they're just going to laugh and enjoy
it. There's something familiar about this film for now.
Yes.
Aside from the fact that there's people that they'll recognize and been excited about for the last couple of years,
right.
There's something very like now about this film. That's what I took away.
Too.
And that's why it's getting all this reach. Can I see it on like Netflix or Hulu or something? Or what do I do?
I'm thinking about, first of all, you can get it video on demand if it's not in your city.
I don't even know what that means.
VOD means if whatever cable company, DirecTV, and whatever you have.
So it'll show up on the
If you go on, do your demand thing and type in Poop Talk.
Okay.
You can see it on iTunes. If you go to iTunes.
Does Amazon have it on demand?
I think that's where I
get all my demand stuff.
Yeah. They may be able to do it. Now, I think there's a window for it to be released, and then it will probably be on Amazon.
Okay.
But it might be on Amazon right away. All I know is it's on iTunes. That's one thing. So you can get it on iTunes.
If you're not one of the 10 cities, or if you're one of the 10 cities, go to the theater.
Go to the theater and see it. See with other people.
I will say it's what's cool about it, having seen it in theaters, it's fun to watch a whole theater of people laugh a bunch of times.
Well, I was going to say, I was hoping you had seen it to know that what that must be very satisfying.
So once, in New York at the Long Island Film or the Lower East Side Film Festival, you know, as we are quickly becoming a society of people who are just on their phones and very individually doing things, as comedians, we love going into a town and doing a set of comedy to hear a whole room laugh.
It's a big deal.
Feels like a bit of a dying,
like a communal
art.
Experience.
It's a communal experience where everyone's experience. That's why it's fun to see live music and it's fun to kind of, you know, but a live music, a lot of times people are on their phones. It's such a weird thing. Laughter requires attention and everybody doing something at the same time. There is that communal experience. Going to see a movie in a movie theater, same deal.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love it when everybody – horror movies and comedy are the best because their reactions are so visceral. You're laughing. You're jumping out of your seat.
Yes.
Both things are amazing.
We do need to share more as human beings.
Agreed.
That's a general note. And so why not – around poop and around comedy.
Yeah.
One quick comedy story about Corolla and observations in cities. We were in Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. When it's, I didn't know he did what you're talking about, but I'm seeing now he just does these observations like you're talking about and tries to make stories out of it. Mm-hmm. We were in Salt Lake City. They have like big, huge, beautiful boulevards. You look like you'd eat off them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But on each side with a crosswalk, there's a flag. You can pick up the flag as a pedestrian and hold it over your head and walk to the other side and put the flag in a little box on the other side, a little
like capture PVC the flag. Pipe.
Well, what's even what Corolla was like, they're there. How long are they? They stay there?
Yeah.
He goes, Los Angeles, in 7 minutes, that'd be a shiv. It'd be, they'd shave off the end and boom, that'd be the end.
Someone would write Lakers on it and stick it in their car and drive a
little puppet on this flag.
Uh-huh, exactly.
All right, I know you guys got to go. I'm dragging this out, but this is it. Let's see you at Sklarblaz, S-K-L-A-R is the Twitter, supersklars.com for screening info. Yeah. Is that the only website?
That's the website. And follow us on Instagram. We're at Sklar Brothers.
Television coming out we should look for?
TV stuff coming up.
We have a new stand-up special. We're not sure exactly where it's going to come out. We'll know in like two weeks.
Is that the one connected to?
No, it's a different one. One that we shot last year, and we're waiting to see where it's going to land.
Oh, okay. And so this is going to be a nice, fun 6 months for you guys.
Good luck for us.
Yeah, good for you.
Thank you.
See you soon. I'll see you all next time.
For call-in times and topics, follow the show on Twitter at Dr. Drew Podcast. That's D-R-D-R-E-W Podcast. The music from today's episode can be found on the swinging sounds of the Dr. Drew Podcast, now available on iTunes. And while you're there, don't forget to rate the show. The Dr. Drew Podcast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana and Gary Smith. For more information, go to drdrew.com. All conversation and information exchanged during the participation in the Dr. Drew Podcast is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or medical advice or direction. Nothing on these podcasts supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Although Dr. Drew is a licensed physician with specialty board certifications by the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Addiction Medicine, he is not functioning as a physician in this environment. The same applies to any professionals who may appear on the podcast or drdrew.com.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.